Hey folks, Jeff here. None of the podcasts on Defenestrate Media were created by a big company or a moneyed network. There's no corporate backing here. The shows, The Left Show, the world's greatest comic book podcast, and I Told You So, exist because we thought that it would be fun to sit down with microphones and talk about the shit that we care about. Politics, comics, culture. Over time, something pretty amazing happened, and a community has formed around these shows. Listeners who come back every week, people who argue with us, laugh with us, send us messages, and share the episodes with friends. Recently, we got a couple of shout-outs by some bigger shows, which has reinvigorated interest in what we do here. It means that there's a lot more ears paying attention to the words that we throw out. It's a lot of growth, but growth means that what we've done is sort of hit the limit of what we can do with both the gear we have, the software we use, and the hosting that we've been running now for years. So we're asking for help. We're raising funds to upgrade our podcast hosting. We need a lot more bandwidth. We need two new hard drives for both production and storage. And then we have three pieces of software that we use that cost a bloody fortune annually to build the shows. We've always been listener supported. That's how independent podcasts like this survive. So if the shows have ever made you laugh, made you think, or just kept you company while you were driving somewhere, maybe consider pitching in this round. A few dollars helps when there's a lot of listeners that are a part of it. Look, do us a favor. Navigate yourself over to theleftshow.com. Click on that big banner for the spring fundraiser. And we're not just asking for help. We're offering prizes for people that do help. So take a look right there at the bottom of the page. You'll see everything that we're offering for those that come to our rescue. With that in mind, thank you, seriously, for helping to keep independent media alive.
Pick a window.
The Left Show is not intended for youngsters. It's not intended for the sensitive. It's certainly not intended for right-wingers. Use your own discretion. Awful swearing.
You know who the best-looking person sitting up there was? Who was it with the cowboy hat?
No, J.M. Bell.
J.M. Bell. Mm-hmm. I don't know who that is.
He hosts a podcast.
Well, he was good-looking.
You pompous, stuck-up, snot-nosed, giant, twerp, scumbag, fuck-face, dickhead, asshole!
Gentlemen, this is Democracy Manifest.
For what reason?
What is the charge? Eating a meal? A succulent Chinese meal?
Listening to the world's greatest political podcast, The Left Show. You've got 25% of the members on today. It's just me. I want to start easy because this is going to be a heavy episode. What I'd like to do is ask Peacock, what the hell? I understand that sometimes you're going to show Premier League games on the USA channel. That's fine. I don't have cable because cable's a scam. And I know that you know it's a scam because you've been in fights with Xfinity before. And why, when a game is broadcast on USA, a channel that you own, is it not then set up as the replay on Peacock? I'm asking, not because I'm happy with how the last Arsenal game worked out, because I'm not. I'm asking because you own all of the Premier League stuff. And Arsenal's the top of the league. And you keep playing games only on cable and never available for anybody else to watch unless we are part of an oppressive system of entertainment that does nothing more than steal from us over and over and over again over the years. So, you. I have Peacock. I pay for Peacock. And I'd like to know why I can't watch my fucking game. I'm just a little frustrated. It's the end of the season. We're headed for the championship of the Premier League. And I don't get to watch the games because I pay you money? Question mark? I don't know. JC's down in St. George. Taylor's on assignment. Tiffany is just had so many seizures today. I can't even count. So it's just me, guys. And I've got bad news. I've got tricky news. A former staffer of Representative Eric Swalwell, who's currently running for California governor, says that the congressman raped her when she was heavily intoxicated and left her bruised and bleeding. Swalwell, of course, denies it. I don't believe him. I don't believe him. Not because he's not credible, but because I believe her. And I believed her because there's been noise about this now for months. And finally, you know, this comes out, and immediately more women pile on to say he is dangerous. He cannot be trusted. He is a bad guy. And I go away, Eric. Drop out of the race. Call it a day. Get a lawyer and do what you have to do. But right now, go away. Fuck off. Go to hell. Go be a piece of shit on somebody else's time. Drop it. I get frustrated with men, especially men in power that think that they can do whatever the hell they want, whenever the hell they want it. They think that they deserve people and compliance from people who are free and autonomous to make their own fucking decisions. This woman says that it was the second time that Swalwell had non-consensual sexual contact with her while she was drinking. In 2019, when she was still working for him, she said she woke up naked with him in a hotel room after a night of heavy drinking. She said she had no memory of what happened, but could feel physically that there had been sexual contact. Three other women spoke with CNN, also alleged various kinds of sexual misconduct by Swalwell, including dick pics, unsolicited dick pics, and naked photos. One woman who connected online with Swalwell over her interest in Democratic politics said she ended up extremely drunk inside his hotel room after a night out with the congressman with little memory of what occurred. Another woman who described receiving unsolicited nude messages from Swalwell was social media creator Ali Samarco. She said she initially reached out to the congressman on Twitter to discuss politics, thinking that he would never respond. And he actually responded. Now, most of the women that came out anonymously. And yet they've still been served with cease and desist letters as of Thursday. Staffers from Swalwell's congressional office and campaign released an unsigned joint statement pledging support for the women who have come forward alleging assault and misconduct. In part, the letter said, "We stand with our former colleagues and the other women who have come forward. We believe you should stand with them too. The behavior detailed in these reports is abhorrent, beneath the dignity of those serving in public office, and betrays the trust of all Californians." Not just all Californians, all Americans. You know, it's time for Swalwell to fucking retire. And then go and defend yourself in whatever way you want to. But one woman is voice enough to put a stop to him. Right? Four women is enough to light his hair on fire and chase him burning from the building. It's obscene. It's disgusting. And he needs to go. Now, online, we're seeing a lot of arguments and fighting about, oh, what about due process? What about his day in court? Yeah, he gets a day in court. Absolutely. But I don't know if you guys understand this or not. This is a rape case. And I think by this time, those of us that are paying attention know how insanely long those take. I mean, even in Utah, I think we're still a year to a year and a half trying to process rape kits, if not longer. California can't be better. They can't be faster. I mean, you know, everybody, honestly, when it comes to comparing rape in Utah, pretty much everybody has the capacity to be faster and better. Utah's just garbage. They really, really are. So, I'm online. I'm on social media. I have no other access to Swalwell other than calling his office. And who the fuck am I to call, you know, a California Congress critter at his office? It's not like anybody over there is going to give much of a shit. But call nonetheless. Look him up. It's just, it's a quick Google. Tell him to stop. Tell him to go away. You know, go, you sick bitch, and go fix your fucking defense, pal. That's enough. I've had enough. You are enough. And a lot of the voices online that are calling for people to be quiet, you know, are like, hey, the president's a rapist. Why can't Swalwell be one too? That's fucked up. That is a hugely fucked up take. I don't know how to get through and I want to say to men, but the truth is that a lot of these comments I'm seeing are also from women. I don't know how to get through to people like that, that when a credible allegation pops up, they run to the defense and take a shit all over the women. Do you know? I mean, really know how incredibly difficult it is to come forward with an allegation like this? I don't know. I know the process. I know how fucked up it gets. I know the bits and pieces and the information that is available as to how women who are victims of sexual assault are treated by the system. I mean, I know that, but I don't know. I don't know the kind of fortitude and the kind of spine it takes to stand up and out loud point a finger at your abuser, and in public, especially with somebody as popular as this guy is, and he's high profile. I mean, hell, he's leading the field for governor of California. I don't know. And have never, ever had to use the level of bravery of these women to stand up and accuse their abuser. I will never know how hard that is. I know that it's hard. I know that it's hard. You know, I read it. I've seen friends and family go through it.
But I don't understand. I'm never going to understand how hard it is. Democrats need to stand for something. We absolutely need to stand for something. We ran off Franken. Good. I miss him. We ran off Anthony Weiner. That guy was good at his job, but bad as a person. And I do. I miss how good he was at his job. I used to sit and watch C-SPAN late at night when Weiner and other young Democrats that had just been elected speechified on the House floor and how fucking glorious it was. Even Debbie Wasserman Schultz did a great job during those late night speeches. But he needed to go. So off he goes. Now, we have a problem in this country with both sides-isms that aren't true. They don't match up. You know, about the only thing both sides do is frustrate voters. But in this case, it's simple. Go away, Eric. Go away. At the very least. And it's so far from what I believe happened, but at the very least, you committed adultery. You're a cheater. And if you'll cheat there, where else will you cheat? What else are you crooked on? What else is going on? Does your wife forgive you? I don't give a shit. I honestly don't. It's pretty apparent that you've done bad things. And the thing about doing bad things is that oftentimes those come with consequences. And it's time for you to face your consequences for being a scummy guy. You know, you're popular. You're not bad looking. If you wanted to cheat on your wife, why did you do that to a human being? Why did you think that was okay? Just because somebody's drunk, that's not consent, you fucking idiot. It's not consent. I don't know. I don't know how you get through to these idiots. I don't know how you get through to it's okay, it's not all men, but it's always men. It's obscene. It's disgusting. It's wrong. It's evil. It's time for good men to stand up to bad men. All of the bad men. It's time with any guy with a shred of decency in them to look at men who do shit like this and to cast them out of polite society. No more fucking reindeer games for the racist guys. No more. No more for them. No more for the Republicans that do this. I'm worked up. I'm angry. I'm very angry. And I was angry when I first heard about it a few months ago. I believe it was on Threads. Ms. Frazzle had been talking to some of the survivors of Swalwell's behavior. And she got dumped on all over the internet. With people telling her to go away, fuck off. Calling her names, doxing her, making her unsafe. Because she was advocating for the victims of Eric Swalwell. And then we have text messages. We have dick pics. You know, we have screenshots. We have at least four, as I record this, women making accusations. It's not a hoax. It's not. And if you think it is, you really need to take a minute to just fucking explore the lack of depth of your own mind to figure out why you want to run to the defense of someone who has, with receipts, been accused of sexual assault and rape. And it's fucking pathetic that you think that you deserve it. It's pathetic that you think that you're upset about the timing. Primary's not for 2 months. October surprises happen in late October because that's when the surprise works. There's no such thing as an April surprise for a fucking June election. I'm scattered. I'm mad and I'm alone and I just want to punch something. So let's take a minute. Let's take a break really quick. And we get back on the other side. I'll do a deep dive and some more really shitty news, gang.
Get hurt in the game? We tough it out. Feel exhausted? We push on. Feeling down? We pull ourselves up by the bootstraps. But there are times when bootstraps aren't enough. When stress gets to us and we need to talk to someone about what we're really going through. So we're going to reach out. Because sometimes mental health is not a one-person job. Visit loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ed Council.
What if there was one place where comic book fans could get everything? News, reviews, debates, and deep dives every single week.
And not just we read one issue and Googled the rest kind of takes. We're talking 15 years deep, over 600 episodes.
That's right. The world's greatest comic book podcast has been breaking down Marvel, DC, indie books, movies, and fandom culture long before it was cool.
Whether you're a lifelong collector,
a casual fan who just saw the latest superhero movie,
or someone trying to figure out where to even start,
we have got you covered.
And we don't always agree, which makes it way more fun.
Yeah, way more fun.
New episodes every Tuesday.
Real opinions, real conversations.
Zero gatekeeping.
Check out the world's greatest comic book podcast at thecomicbookpodcast.com.
Hey kids, comics!
I love doing these shows. I mean, they delight me. We've been doing them for 15 years because, well, we get something out of it. We get some satisfaction out of hopefully making you find humor in the bad news that we report every week. And this week, I have no joy. You can hear it. You can tell. I'm mad that I got to come on here and talk about stuff like this. I want it to not happen. The entitlement of certain men is titanic and disgusting. From the White House all the way down, you know, to dipshits that work for a living. It's all throughout. And like I said earlier, it's, yeah, okay, fine. It's not all men, but it's always men. So I'll take a deep dive.
It's time for the Left Show's Deep Dives. Every week, your intrepid hosts take a detailed look at important topics from across the globe that matter to you, whether you know it or not. Let's see how this goes. Best of luck, folks.
Believe women is one of the most emotionally charged phrases in modern culture, and it's also one of the most misunderstood. At its core, it doesn't mean abandoning evidence, due process, or critical thinking. It means starting from a place of taking allegations seriously rather than dismissing them outright. Historically, women who have reported sexual assault have been ignored. They've been discredited. They've been blamed for centuries. The default response isn't skepticism. It's outright dismissal. So believe women emerged as a corrective. Because the reality is sexual assault is one of the most underreported crimes. Many survivors never come forward at all, often because they fear exactly what has traditionally happened. Not being believed, being scrutinized more than the accused, or facing social and professional consequences. And when people do come forward, they're often asked questions that imply doubt right away. What were you wearing? Why didn't you report it sooner? Why were you there? Questions that, intentionally or not, shift the focus away from the crime, the allegation, and onto the person that's reporting it. So the phrase, believe women, is really about changing that starting point. Instead of immediate skepticism, it's asking for initial empathy and seriousness. It's about listening first, recognizing the difficulty of speaking up, and understanding the broader context that has historically discouraged reporting. And at the same time, this is where the tension comes in. Because we do. We live in a system that values due process. Well, we used to. Due process and fairness, especially when serious accusations are involved. People worry about the consequences of false accusations, reputational damage, and the importance of evidence. So the challenge becomes balancing two things that can feel in conflict: supporting survivors and maintaining fairness in how allegations are handled. But those don't have to be opposites. You can take somebody seriously, listen and support and investigate without skipping the steps that ensure accuracy and fairness. And in fact, taking allegations seriously requires a proper process. Ignoring someone isn't fairness, it's neglect. The broader cultural shift here is about who we center in these conversations. For a long time, the focus was on protecting the accused from false claims. But now there's a growing recognition that we also need to consider the very real harm of dismissing legitimate allegations and complaints. And that shift doesn't eliminate complexity, it highlights it. Because ultimately, believe women isn't a legal standard, it's a cultural one. It's about moving from reflexive doubt to thoughtful engagement, from dismissal to listening, and from silence to accountability, because accountability is what is missing in the majority of these cases. Women don't come forward because there's no fucking accountability for the men that run the system. The real question isn't whether we should believe everything without question. It's whether we're willing to take people seriously enough to hear them in the first place. I take these women seriously. I believe them. And I will keep believing them. Because that's the right thing to do. Speaking of bad guys, Trump is threatening Iran after the talks failed. I don't know what that means per se, because what we're told is that he's going to blockade the Strait of Hormuz. President President Trump said on Sunday that the U.S. Navy would immediately begin a blockade to stop ships from entering or leaving the Strait of Hormuz. This is after the U.S.-Iran peace talks in Pakistan ended without an agreement. Trump sought to exert strategic control over the waterway responsible for the transportation of 20% of the global oil supplies before the war, hoping to take away Iran's key source of economic leverage in the fighting. Trump added that he has instructed our Navy to seek and interdict every vessel in international waters that has paid a toll to Iran. No one who pays an illegal toll will have safe passage on the high seas. So now we're not only blowing up Iran's stuff. Are we going to, well, no, knowing him, he's going to steal it. He's going to start stealing boats. I mean, he's been stealing boats in our hemisphere now for months. Oil boats. And yeah, I'm calling them boats. I know they're ships. Bite me. So what do you think he's going to do with a boat that paid the toll? He's going to steal that oil. And somehow that oil is going to disappear and some bank account out in the Caymans that has a name that sounds like Trump is going to be millions and millions of dollars richer. What do you think happens to the oil we take? It's not that much. When you look at how much oil flows around the world in any given day, one boat's worth is not that much. I mean, it's a lot. I could retire off a boat full of crude oil, you know, but I'm not the kind of guy who would send the military to blow up a country for no fucking reason other than, you know, he's trying not to get blacklisted and painted with the Epstein files. I mean, that's a whole other thing. You know, did you see Melania popping up out of nowhere and being, I didn't know Jeffrey Epstein. I've never been on his plane. I've never been to his island. And then the pictures of her hanging out with Epstein, sitting in his lap, giving him kisses, doing a striptease for him. You know, pretty sure one of those pictures was on a fucking plane. I don't know if it's his plane or not. I don't know what it looks like, but I mean, that's where we are. So Trump's also saying the United States was ready to finish up Iran at the appropriate moment, stressing that Tehran's nuclear ambitions are at the core of the failure to end the war. I mean, I don't need to remind folks listening to this show that, you know, Obama already took care of that problem and Trump's the one that fucked it up. But while he's off at a UFC fight in the middle of the breakdown of the negotiations, have you ever heard of the glass cliff? The glass cliff phenomenon. We've all heard of the glass ceiling. But it's a particularly bad time to be a woman in Trump world. So last week, Pam Bondi found out she was out of a job. That was less than a month after Kristi Noem was booted via hate Twitter. Well, I guess that's redundant. Truth Social, that she was out of a job and was replaced with like the equivalent of a walking, talking Vienna sausage, Mark Wayne Mullen, minutes after the post went live. It's my guess is what's her name? Gabby is next. And after that, probably his chief of staff. Though she seems like a frothy mouthed Republican enough that she could probably stay for a little while longer. Finally, just sort of wrapping up Trump and Swalwell. You know, Trump still owns E. Jean Carroll like $80 million. To the best of my knowledge, he hasn't paid off any of that. Why aren't the United States Marshals arresting him? They'd arrest me if I didn't pay off a court fine. If I didn't pay my restitution, they'd absolutely throw my fat white ass in jail. Why not his fat white ass? Oh, he's the president. Yeah. Yeah, it should happen faster. So, one of the problems with men is the way they treat girls. I'm not saying women. That is also problematic, but that is not what I'm focused on right now. It's the way they treat girls, children. The Tennessee community is calling for the removal of a school board member who made an inappropriate comment, end quote, to a minor. Keith Everin can be heard calling a female student hot while putting his arm around her during a live stream public meeting. It was more than that. He asked her where she went to school. He was looking for information. He says there's a lot of context missing. I don't care what the fuck context you have, Irvin. You, an old, fat, white guy, don't get to call a teenage girl hot. And not only did you do that, you did it at a school board meeting in front of all of your peers and other board members. And when you guys were called out about it and asked to throw up your hands if you found it inappropriate for an old dude to hit on a girl, a child, none of them raised their hands. None of them raised their hands. The live stream shows the student sitting at this table, surrounded with adults that are supposed to be there to fucking protect her, with Irvin on one side and the county superintendent, Jerry Boyd, on the other. And she shared some of her thoughts. Irvin grabs her by the shoulder, wraps his arm around her and says, God, you're hot. You know that? Where'd you go to school at? Ew. If I had been in that room, I would have beat the shit out of this ass clown. I don't care if it's my daughter or not. If it was my daughter, I'd probably run to do it. And I don't know if you guys have seen me run in the last 10 years. It is not a pretty thing. But even so, any child being touched and solicited by anybody not her age, I'm going to lose my shit. I'm surprised anybody let him walk the fuck out of there. And all I have to say, and you know what? I'm not sorry I'm saying it, is it's fucking Tennessee. And in fucking Tennessee, where they vote so Republican that they don't see a problem with this sort of behavior. They just don't. It's disgusting. I don't know what to do, guys. I'm spent. I think I'm going to call it a show early because I'm mad and everything else just seems silly compared to Swalwell and Trump. Everything else seems completely disingenuous. And I don't feel like it. I have a rage and a rail against FIFA this week that I was really looking forward to getting all screamy about. FIFA. You know, the folks with the FIFA Peace Prize. Those idiots. I just can't do it, guys. I can't do it. I'm too mad. All I want to do is sit here and call Swalwell names. And then point out that he's just like other men. You know, like Trump. What else you hiding, Eric? What else are we going to find during discovery? You look terrified when you did your little fucking video saying that you didn't do it. You know, you'll get your day in court, sport. You will. You will. They've got evidence, dummy. And I hope when the evidence is processed that they get a jury that believes women. Because it is going to be an angry fucking day if he gets away with this. An angry fucking day. All right. Thanks, gang. Sorry about the tone this week. I'm mad. I'm madder than I have been in an awful long time.
If you've made it this far, you might as well join us on Patreon. Patreon.com/DFenMedia. This episode and more always available at www.theleftshow.com.